With just a few days out before the Iowa caucuses, Tom Steyer taking a few minutes now to join us from the road in Iowa just before a town hall out there. Tom, thank you so much for taking the time. It's a hectic time on the campaign trail right now.
It's a pleasure, Mike.
So let's start generally with the race. We're a few days out from the Iowa caucuses, seeing a few polls for you showing some positive numbers in Nevada and South Carolina. How are you feeling about it, how the race is shaping up right now?
Well, there was a poll out yesterday, Mike, that in the four early primary states, which are Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina, they had me at 17% average
right. In
third place. So, you know, a lot of polls are different, but the one thing I can say is I've consistently moved up every week since I got into this race in July, and that was true this week. And, you know, when I travel to these places, I can tell that we have a lot of momentum, and we, you know, I am continuing to move up.
Let's touch on some of the issues here, one of which that you're most passionate about is the climate. I mean, we're no strangers to that here in California with our wildfire situation. You have your climate justice plan. What are some of the immediate actions you would take in relation to climate?
Well, Mike, I don't know if your listeners know, but I'm from Northern California. I drove up through Sonoma last year after the fires to see what really fire devastation looks like. And that's one of the many reasons that I've said climate is my number one priority, that I will declare a state of emergency on the climate crisis on the first day of my presidency and start using the president's emergency powers to do things like to change the schedule on which we're going to move to clean energy, to change the kinds of cars that we produce so that we move away from gasoline, to change building codes. And, you know, I am from California. I've run a series of propositions in California, starting with fighting two oil companies in 2020, the No on 23 campaign, where two, if you'll remember that far back, it was over 10 years ago, but I was leading the campaign to stop two out-of-state oil companies from repealing California's clean energy laws, which no one thought we could win, and we got 70% of the vote.
Right.
So, you know, we would start on day one with that attitude to change, declare a state of emergency, do it from the standpoint of environmental justice. I mean, what I've done, you said it's a justice-based climate plan, and it is. You start in the communities where you can't breathe without getting asthma, or you can't drink the tap water without getting sick. Those tend to be black and brown communities, but if you start there and solve those problems, you solve climate for sure.
Right.
And the other thing is we're going to have to rebuild this country. We're going to have to rebuild it on an accelerated basis in a climate smart way. And that's going to create millions, over 4.5 million good paying union jobs across the country. So,
now,
yeah, we're going to have to deal with climate on an emergency basis, but we're going to have cheaper power and better jobs and be healthier and more just as a result. So we're going to do it, and we're going to do it in a good way.
Now, another one of the domestic issues that we're grappling with here in California specifically, and even here locally, is housing affordability, rents, homelessness. I know a lot of that tends to fall more on the state or local jurisdictions, but is there a role the federal government can play to help kind of drive that issue at all?
Oh, heck yes. Mike, look, we have way too few affordable housing units in the United States of America. And these Republicans told us 40 years ago, starting with Ronald Reagan, is don't worry about the government. The market will provide. Well, 40 years in, we know for sure that's a bunch of bull. So, in fact, the government, the federal government, is going to have to spend hundreds of billions of dollars building affordable housing units around the United States of America, including specifically in California. And the good news is we have to do it, but we're going to do it in a climate smart way. So the fact that they haven't done it for years, we're going to do it in a way that it actually fits into our justice-based climate plan. We were millions of units short. We're specifically millions of units short in California, where, as you know, housing prices are through the roof. The government's going to have to step in with money and do it in a fair and smart way.
Now, you were here in the Bay Area last week talking about your new criminal justice plan, which focuses more on prevention and rehabilitation. What are some of the things you'd like to see changed within the criminal justice system?
Well, Mike, it's hard to look at the criminal justice system in America without noticing that there is racial bias in it, from the way we police to the way we sentence to how we treat to the fact that there's still cash bail in virtually all of the United States outside California, to how people are treated when they're incarcerated and how they're treated afterwards. And so we're going to change all of that. I've worked within California to end cash bail. I've worked within California to end what are called automatic sentence enhancements. But basically what I worked against was the idea of having completely non-discretionary sentences in the most harshest ways. And I've worked to end California's use of private prisons. This is not a place that private companies should be working, and California no longer uses them either for incarceration or for detention as part of the immigration system.
But
let me say this. There is also what we really need to do. Of course, that system needs to change. But we also have to really break the school-to-prison pipeline. We have to start much earlier than when somebody is being incarcerated and understand why it is that this society incarcerates 7 times as many people as other advanced societies. Mm-hmm. That is a gigantic societal failure. There is race. There is racial bias literally at every stage of this. But beyond that, we are not doing the investments in young people to keep them out of this path and to keep them on a path where they're going to be productive citizens from the get-go. And that's, you know, I see this as not an isolated part of society, but part of a much broader effort to invest in Americans, starting with preschool, starting with helping moms have subsidized childcare, starting with the idea that a prosperous country has prosperous citizens, and the government facilitate that by investing in those families and those citizens so they can do well, and as a result, the country can do well.
Now, you were one of the earliest adopters in calling for the impeachment of the president. Now that this the process has gone through, it's reached the Senate, what's been your reaction as to how this process has progressed?
Well, you know, Mike, I did start the Need to Impeach movement over 2 years ago. The big thing about that is what I was running was a petition drive that 8.5 million Americans signed. They didn't just sign a petition, but they called their congresspeople, they emailed their congresspeople, they texted their congresspeople saying, hold the most corrupt president in American history to account, protect America, protect the Constitution, do what's right, not what's politically expedient. And I believe they drag Washington into doing the right thing here. And now the point is, and I've been saying this for 2 years, the court that counts here is the court of public opinion. The jury that counts is the American people. We need these administration officials testifying on TV under oath, or they go to jail if they tell a lie about what happened, and let the American people, let us decide. That's what I care about. That's what I've been fighting for. Let us know the truth. Let us decide. That's the only way this gets fairly adjudicated. I'm a grassroots person, started one of the biggest grassroots organizations in the United States, Next Gen America. And my attitude is put it up to the people, because that's who I trust. The American people, not the elite in Washington, D.C.
Now, for the longest time, one of the talking points we heard from candidates was that government should run more like a business. So after sort of the 3 years we've seen with Donald Trump, do you still think that's something that's possible? Is that something that people should even be looking at?
Well, Mike, I started a business from scratch and built it over almost 3 decades into a multi-billion dollar international business. And I can tell you, a government is not supposed to run like a business. A business has a completely different set of rules. It has to be well organized. The execution is critical in terms of getting things done, and that's true whether you're any organization, whether it's a business, a for-profit business, a not-for-profit business, or a government. But what we really need, we do need organization here, but we really need to be value-driven, and we need a government that understands it's reporting to the American people, not to the corporations of America. I mean, that's really the biggest reason I'm running, is I believe this government's broken, that it's been bought by businesses, that it's not serving the American people, and that we need to take it back to get any of the progressive things that we want. And we need to restructure it with things like 12-year term limits for Congress people and senators. That this, you know, this government has been corrupted and bought by businesses. And really, the American people on a grassroots basis need to go out together and take it back so we can get it to serve us and to get the things we deserve.
One of the things I like to ask all the candidates, what's an issue that you have a passion for, you're very passionate about, that you don't feel gets enough play maybe on the debate stage at the national level, that you think should get some more attention?
Well, I can tell you this. I am the only person in this race who will come out openly and say I'm for reparation. I'm the only person in this race who will say I would start a commission on race on my first day of my presidency and retell the American story in terms of Africans coming here as enslaved people over 400 years ago. I'm the person who says we are a justice-based climate movement. We see justice everywhere. And, you know, I'm explicit about it. I believe that unless we're honest about our issues and call out racism where I see it, clearly here, but also in terms of our immigration policy, where basically we have a president using immigration as a pretext for talking about racism and vilifying Latinos and people coming from Mexico and Central America. You know, if you want something that we don't discuss enough, it's telling the truth about racism and injustice. And I do that explicitly, and I have policies that explicitly address it in a way that other people seem unwilling to do.
We saw the last debate, you had to kind of traverse the waters a little bit between Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren at the end of the debate. What was that moment like for you?
Well, you know, I respect both of those senators. I was trying to say goodnight in the way that you would to any of your friends at the end of an evening. And I stepped into kind of a fraught moment where they were having their own private moment. And I can tell you, within 2 minutes of walking off that stage, my oldest son texted me and said, "Dad, whatever you do, don't be a snitch." So I figured they deserve their privacy. But let's end by saying this, Mike. Look, I did build a business from scratch. I do understand growth and job creation and prosperity. Mr. Trump is going to run on the economy. We all know that. He says it every single day. But he's a fake. And I'm the person who had the experience and the expertise from figuring out what creates jobs, from figuring out what creates prosperity in a country. As a professional, that was my job. I am the person who can take him down on the debate stage and beat him when he claims he's good on the economy. He was a fake business person. He was a failed business person who was a reality TV show, and he's been a terrible steward of the American economy for the American people. And I want the chance. I want people to support me so I can go out and beat him, because we need to beat him, and we need to beat him on the economy, and I can do it.
Excellent. Tom Steyer, candidate for president, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck on the campaign trail in Iowa.
Mike, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you.